Several years ago, Kaiser Permanente ran a series of print ads in magazines and newspapers that were quite captivating. The image that took up the whole page was one of a multi-generational family sitting on the front steps of a house. The older white couple was in the front in two chairs, and then sort of going back up the stairs behind them was the rest of their family. There were children and grandchildren and in-laws fanned out among the stairs. And no one is identified in the photos, but you can tell sort of how by people are clustered around, kind of who belonged to who. And the group is multiracial, had gay and straight couples, grandchildren from different parents. The ad line on the bottom of the ad said, "Stay healthy, stay around, life is interesting." I think I was particularly taken with the photo in the truth that it spoke to me. So often in my life, I expect certain things. I plan for certain things. And I have been taught that things will happen in a certain way. And often, well, let's just be honest, almost all of the time, life does not go that way. I crave safety and security at times, and I really just don't need life to be more interesting. It is the choices that we make during life that make that journey interesting. Now, these choices aren't always of our choosing. Sometimes they're thrust upon us with little or no warning. We have not planned for them. We have not searched and researched the best alternatives or outcomes. We are at a crossroad, and the fork in the road demands our attention. This is where Peter finds himself today in the gospel. We are at the tail end of chapter 8, halfway through Mark's gospel. And Peter has been traveling with Jesus for a while now. He has witnessed Jesus restore sight to the blind, heal people from demons, feed multitudes of people, walk on water, and share amazing stories and teachings. And Peter is a person of his time. We know he worked as a fisherman and had some kind of fishing business with his brother Andrew. He was married, as Jesus had healed his mother-in-law earlier in the gospel, and he was of Jewish faith. We don't know what the rest of Peter's family might have looked like. Did he have children? Was he a widower? Did he enjoy his job? Did he like where he lived? Did he have many friends? But one thing that we can be fairly certain, based on his Jewish upbringing, was that he had been taught about God's promise to send a Messiah to God's people. And I think it would be a fair guess to say that Peter would have expected this Messiah to right the wrongs in the world. His community had been oppressed for generations. They were now living as part of the Roman Empire and had layers and layers and layers of authority over them. I'm sure the people expected that the Messiah would come and correct these injustices and rescue God's people from persecution. And Peter has been spending a lot of time with this Jesus person. And this Jesus person seems to fit the bill. I wonder how long Peter had thought about Jesus being the Messiah. Have the disciples discussed it among themselves when Jesus wasn't around? Has it been the big elephant in the room that no one wanted to ask because they were honestly afraid of the answer? I would imagine when you have been praying for generations for a Messiah to save you, it would be a very difficult thing to believe it was actually finally happening. But Peter, I love Peter, by the way. Peter is the brave one to finally say what everyone else has been thinking about for a while. and he declares it. You are the Messiah. But rather than having this moment of glory, perhaps the heavens opening up with thunder and lightning, at the very least, Jesus confirming the fact and showing his gratitude to these closest of his friends. Even perhaps a little extra time to explain to them how this all happened and what's going to go on. No. Jesus instead plunges them into telling them about what the future path is going to hold. All the harrowing experiences that are in front of them. I imagine that Peter might feel sort of like he was in a dodgeball game, and all of a sudden this big rubber ball has pelted the side of his head. Wait, what? What did you just say, Jesus? We aren't told how Peter rebukes Jesus, but I can imagine it must have been with a lot of anger. Peter has been expecting for his lifetime, for generations of his ancestors, that Jesus would come to right all of the wrongs. That is what the glorious good news about the Messiah's arrival is going to mean. And instead, Peter is left wondering, what is going on? How can this be happening? This is not the path that I thought I was on. How did this road suddenly get so choppy and so difficult? I do think that Jesus understands Peter's feelings of confusion and anger and betrayal, because he tries to go on and explain what this actually means. Jesus is going to be killed and raised after 3 days. That info was probably difficult enough to absorb. But then Jesus goes on and says, "For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who want to lose their life for my sake and for the gospel will save it." Here might be an easier way to think about this in our world today. Going back to that Kaiser Permanente ad that I told you about. What if that older couple, the grandparents, I think we can assume, had made different choices in their lifetime? What if they had chosen not to accept their kids' partners when they came home for dinner that first time? What if they had not wanted to accept grandchildren from previous relationships? What if they had chosen not to accept one of their kids' decisions to come out to them? And what if they had just chosen not to be in relationship with some of these more difficult family members? That big, multiracial, multi-aged, multi-faith, and dare I say, multi-political stanced family might not have been what this couple originally thought their life would look like 50 years down the road. There was probably some work that had to be done in order to know these new people that would become part of the family. Maybe some preconceived ideas had to be let go. Maybe some plans had to be changed. Even that picture that we sometimes carry around in our head of the future, maybe that needed to be expanded. This is what Peter is facing in our gospel, and what Jesus is inviting him and the rest of the followers to do. You have choices to make. You have forks in the road. Which path are you going to choose? You can choose the path that you have expected, planned for, even dreamt about, and it will probably be easier and safer. But you will lose things when you make that choice. You will probably lose people and ideas, opportunities, communities, and happiness when you choose that way. Or Jesus is inviting you to choose the other path. It will require you to set aside some previous beliefs, some things that you have been taught, some things that you so want to be true. It will require more work. It'll require more time. It'll require more patience, and it will certainly require more courage. And there will be times that you will be disappointed, and there will be times that you will be hurt. It won't be easy work. But, and this is the big but, Jesus tells us that when we give up this supposed control that we think we have, we gain new life. New life that is open with possibilities, and new life that brings us closer to God's kingdom. New life that is full of that kingdom, glimpses into what God is calling us into. New life that is really, really interesting. Amen.